Blog Talk Radio.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze, and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong.
Declaration of Independence, assigned in the year of our Lord, 1776. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Our country is in deep trouble, and very few people know it. I hear the vets are upset about the budget bill. I feel betrayed. I believe they're 100% right, and they're all entitled to double the money. And if you want to know why they're getting shortchanged, all you have to do is read the 45 goals of the Communist Party. You can Google it, and it'll come right up on the Internet. The 45 goals of the Communist Party. What they do is that they cry poverty and take the money away from the military, and eventually the military collapses, and then they replace it with a new military. There are some agencies that are not doing their job, and they're hurting the country. I'm going to name four: the IRS, the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the EPA. These are four communist-controlled agencies. And they're being controlled by Obama and Eric Holder. And before you talk about impeaching Eric Holder, you should talk about impeaching Obama, you should impeach Eric Holder. That would be a trial run to see if you can get to Obama. But Eric Holder should definitely go, because he's very dangerous. So the media is pleased that Obama and Clinton are stonewalling the Americans. And that's from Daily Events of conservative media. Benghazi lives, they got Hillary. What does it matter how they died? Yeah, we're in trouble. And I'm not worried about how much traffic is in New Jersey. Because next year, even without a hit,
their traffic will be clogged up anyway. So what do we have? Bridgegate, but not Gatesgate. That's interesting. Coptic children, Christian children kidnapped or killed for cash. Is Chris Christie less believable than Tawana Brawley? That's by Ann Coulter. I heard her on his show today. And nobody ever asks Al Sharpton about Tawana Brawley. Really sad. 5 ways Obama regulations threaten America's freedom. The guy has been one threat since the day he walked in. He's already given the Middle East over to Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah. He walked away from the Middle East. He just left troops in the battlefield, just like Democrats do in any war. Harvey Weinstein wants to destroy the NRA and leave us unprotected. Well, Harvey Weinstein's not going to succeed in that. He's just another sick Hollywood producer who produces sick movies about violence to women and drugs.
Did you ever see the movie that he produced with John Travolta and the Bible-quoting black actor as they gunned down a couple of jerky kids? They shot them all up. Yeah. He wants to ban guns, but he wants to make movie on guns, make money in movies on guns.
So here's an article in Al-Mustaqbal. Yeah. This is from Memory. You know who Memory is? M-E-M-R-I. They analyze all and translate all Middle Eastern periodicals, news headlines. And this article says the start of the Al-Hariri assassination trial. The real resistance is the one combating the culture of death. And what that's all about is, let me see if I can tell you, 9 years after the assassination of former Lebanese minister, Prime Minister Rafik al-Hariri, this guy was he made a lot of money in construction in Saudi Arabia, and he created the Hariri Foundation, and he was trying to help fellow Muslims get on their feet, and he sent many to school. And he was, I would have to say, he was a man of peace. So the trial of 4 men accused of the assassination began at The Hague. The 4 who are being tried in absentia, oh, they don't have them, are senior Hezbollah members Salim Ayash, Mustafa Badr Adin, Hussein Onesi, and Assad Sabra. The case of the 5th suspect, Hassan Ameri, may be joined to this trial at a later date. A delegation of senior officials from the March 14th forces arrived at The Hague yesterday to attend the trial's opening. At its head is Rafik al-Hariri's son, Assad, and it is also includes family members of other victims who died in the attack on al-Hariri. He was killed along with several of his bodyguards. You need bodyguards when you travel the Middle East, and soon you're going to need bodyguards to travel Mexico, because Mexico is going to become a new Iraq, based on what I see rising on the horizon. I now wonder if it was only 2,200 guns that Eric Holder smuggled in to Mexico to aid the drug lords. I now wonder if it was only 2,200. And they told you one border guard died, but you know there's between 50 and 70,000 Mexicans dead in this gun down, this Eric Holder gun down and shootout. It is not looking good in Mexico. Yeah. So he was killed, Rafik Hariri, February the 14th, 2005. When a bomb exploded near his motorcade as it was passing through central Beirut. This was the first of a series of assassinations against Lebanese figures associated with the March 14th forces, which is still ongoing. The latest victim was former minister Mohamed Shattah, killed only 2 weeks ago on December the 27th, 2013. Immediately following al-Hariri's assassination, many in Lebanon, in the Arab world, and in the international community pointed the finger at President Obama's ally, Syrian President Bashar Assad. I put that in there. Whose forces were present in Lebanon at the time and at its allies with Lebanon, chiefly Hezbollah. And that's why the Saudis are upset, because the Saudis are Sunni and the Iranians are Shiite, and they hate each other. But I think the Saudis hate the Shiite more than the Shiite hate the Saudis. And they killed their leader. The Saudis killed Ali, who was the leader. That's why when you see the holy days for the Shiite religion, they're all cutting themselves with razors and whipping themselves with barbed wire because they failed to protect Ali from the murderous Sunnah. So they held a demonstration of unprecedented proportions attended by a million people, calling to expel the Syrian military presence from the country. In April 2005, Lebanese and international pressures indeed forced Syria to withdraw its forces from Lebanon. This chain of events later became known as the Cedar Revolution. It seems like everything over there is all revolutions and terrorists, and it's really sad. I think the only way you're going to bring peace to the Middle East, everybody's got to go Christian. But they won't hear of it, no matter how many times I put it on the table. Yeah. Let's see. This puts it all in perspective. Let's see what this is all about. Open doors. The UN estimates that nearly one out of three Syrians have been displaced both inside and outside the country since the beginning of the civil war. In the U.S., that would be equivalent to every person in these states being displaced. What the crisis in Syria would look like in America. Extremists have been specifically targeting Christian-dominated areas, killing as many as 45 Christians in a single attack. That would be like the states in the Bible Belt are being specifically targeted by extremists. As a result of the violence, 25% of Christians had to flee the country. In the last year alone, that would be 37 million American Christians being forced to flee the USA. It's amazing to think about what it would be like if that was happening in the USA. Yet, this is the reality that our Syrian brothers and sisters have been facing for the past several years. Then the guy quotes the Bible. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Open Doors is helping displaced Christians in places like Syria, Iraq, and the Central African Republic through Christian community restoration projects like housing, food, and even rebuilding churches that have been attacked. I used to get a local newspaper here called The Advance. And when I first came to Staten Island, it was very conservative. Then one day I pick it up and it's gone completely 180 degrees a communist. And I'm still taking the paper because I want to keep the paper boy employed. But he started to deliver the paper from a fast car, and he missed the house. We used to have to go out and hunt for the paper and find it in a puddle. So when he came to collect the bill, I gave him a wet check, and I canceled my subscription. And the reason I canceled it was, do you remember the big tsunami that tortured Indonesia? Really, it left Indonesia totally exposed and raw, and there were a lot of starving victims, and they didn't have water. And evangelists went there to hand out food and medicines, and they also brought their Bible with them. And the Muslims started to complain about the Bibles that they were trying to convert the helpless. And my local communist rag here started to attack the evangelists for preaching Christ. You know how they do that. They're doing it in public schools now to preschoolers and first graders. They're attacking the children for preaching Christ. When I went to school, you learned to love your God and country. I don't know what happened. They don't even learn to love their country now. You know they don't have to say the Pledge of Allegiance if they don't want to? Do you know that in schools in Brooklyn, kids stand up and turn their back on the flag? You know, you can't believe that, or there's a lot of things you're going to learn. So these people are calling for help. Let's see who they are. Open Doors. They got a fish as an emblem. So if you want to help out the Open Doors people, look for Open Doors, serving persecuted Christians worldwide. So having said that, maybe we'll sneak back for a tune. I got to give you some music. Let's see if we can find something good. Yeah, I'll give you. You feel like dancing? You want to dance right now? Get ready.
You do the love people need. You do the love people need.
You put your money in, you put your money in, you put your money in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn your tub around. That's what it's all about. You put your love in, you put your love in.
You know, the guy that wrote that tune, the Hokey Pokey, he died recently. And, you know, it took an hour to get him in the coffin. You put the left foot in, you put the left foot out. The next story up is about the Internet. When the Internet first came out, I was very happy because it was a source of information that would run contrary to the communist news media. No longer did we have to accept the lies of the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, Time Magazine, we had a source that we could Google and search and compare notes. And as a result, these newspapers all took a hit, and their readership dropped because people had found freedom of choice on the internet. But my biggest fear is that the same people who once controlled the mind of the American people are now taking over the internet. So they're going to be back stronger than ever before, and we're all going to be brainwashed once again. So here's something somebody sent me this. Dear conservative, the internet as we know it is officially dead. This week, the leftist-dominated D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. So we got a court of judges that's a communist, ruled that the Federal Communications Commission's FCC net neutrality regulations were unlawful. Net neutrality is the idea that information on the internet must be accessible to everyone equally. Previously, FCC regulations made it illegal for internet companies to block access to certain sites or to give preferential treatment to others. Want to save some money? You want to save some money? You pass a law that says the most that any campaign contribution can be to any politician for any election is a dollar, and let them work out deals with the TV networks on their own, and you will be happy, and you will be richer, and you will have a vote that counts. Back in 2010, the FCC adopted these regulations to impose open internet rules that internet service providers, those are ISPSs, that's where that ISP number comes from your computer, so they can find out where you are and who you are, from blocking or, and speaking of where you are and who you are, I'm not worried about NSA. From what I can see, NSA is not looking up everybody's dress. What I see is that NSA has successfully implanted chips in Chinese computers and can listen and read them through radio waves. They don't need an internet connection. And I think the count was 100,000 Chinese military computers. Now, if you want to know who I'm seeing on the side cheating on my wife, I don't care. Yes, I'm going after younger women. You might as well know it. Right now I'm looking at a hot chick at 71. Yeah, unbelievable. Spy all you want, boys. Just get us, just keep us safe. Just remember, your number one priority is you're looking for terrorists. You're looking for terrorists and anybody that can hurt this country. And don't worry what Anthony Weiner is doing in the privacy of his basement. While internet service providers like Comcast, AT&T, and Time Warner Cable have always been allowed to charge customers for internet access, they weren't. Let me see where I am here. I had to blow it up and make it bigger to read it. They weren't allowed to deliberately restrict subscribers' access to legal web content in order to make a profit. However, thanks to this communist, the Circuit Court of Appeals, which has been packed with Obama's liberal judges, he is packing everything, my friends. You know, you're worried about Obama. He's going to be the least of your worries. Your worries are going to be everybody, every seed that he has planted over 5 years. Over 5 years, you have no idea what a virus can do. He is concocting a human virus of anti-Americans that will be in every position of power. That's why I mentioned the IRS, the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the EPA has destroyed more American business than any competitor worldwide. As a matter of fact, they might as well be Chinese at the EPA, because that's where they sent all the business.
However, thanks to the D.C. Court of Appeals, which has been packed with Obama liberal judges, these internet companies are now free to deliberately restrict their customers' access to web content. Now I know what you're saying. Perhaps this seems like a good thing to get the government out of regulating the internet, and in some ways it could be seen that way, but this court case will also have wide-reaching consequences for the conservative movement and how we organize. And then they're saying, tell Congress to stop internet companies from restricting your access to legal web content. Yeah, you mean like the hearings behind closed doors on how Obama left over 32 people to die in Benghazi? And he's now holding 29 hostages that he won't let talk to the press. And one guy who they keep moving around and give him a lie detector test every day and make him sign NCNDs, non-disclosure, non-circumvention promises and guarantees. Yeah. So it's not just let's see what this guy says. If you think about it, it's really in Comcast's business interest to block your access to conservative websites. Why would Comcast allow its direct competitors to gain advertising revenue when they can force you to visit their liberal news websites instead? I hate the Huffington Post. I never saw so much crap in my life as the Huffington Post. This woman took advantage of dumb college kids. Dumb, naive college kids, and she had them all writing for her and building her website, and she never paid them. And then she sold them out, and she pocketed $390 million in a deal with AOL. She used them. She used those college kids and never bought them an ice cream. And you talk about big business oppressing the worker. It's not just Comcast either. Time Warner Cable is the country's third largest internet provider, servicing over 14 million customers in 39 states. Time Warner Cable owns and operates multiple news channels, which up until very recently also included the Communist News Network. There is a channel in New York, and I'm going from memory, and it may have changed since I first looked into it. But it's called New York One, and it's owned by CNN, or it was when I looked into it. And never once did I ever see an American flag on New York One, unless they had a picture of a window in a street and a bus went by. And then it was a flag on the bus. But New York One never had an American flag. How's that? And in CNN's office, there's a French one. And I don't think CNN has American flags either. But I don't watch it because it's the Communist News Network. I don't watch that. I don't watch the Nothing But Communist Network, NBC. I don't need to have Chris Matthews tell me he's a Catholic. You know, I heard enough of that from Ted Kennedy. Yeah. So these are just a few of the country's largest internet providers. While they might be guided primarily by profits, there is definitely a lot of money in politics. My friends, we got a clean house. You know what? If you went out and voted, if you voted anybody but who you got in there now, you would be ahead of the game. I got to tell you, these politicians, they're party animals. Savage says they should all be drug tested. What a surprise we would get. And, man, I'll tell you, there's a lot of crap going on. When I saw my congressman go to Washington, a nice boy with a nice wife and two kids, two daughters, he went to Washington. He wasn't down there 10 minutes, and he had another family going. Now, he didn't go there with the intentions of raising another family. He went there with the intentions of serving the community, but he threw in with the rest of the pirates down there, and they're all doing it. They're all doing it. They're all dangerous people, and they're hurting us. One term per termite. That should be the rule. We cannot afford to have these congressmen and senators sitting at the cash register for more than one term. I don't care how good he is, how he serves or loves this country. One term, get your crap, get out. Next. It takes them at least a year to find out where the money comes from. And then they only got 3 years left, or 2 years left, or whatever, 1 year, 6 years. But get rid of them. Don't let them grow hooks. So this guy is saying, tell the Congress to stop internet companies from restricting your access. Your Congress is already bought and paid for. They're not listening to you. You think they're listening to you? I got introduced to a senator. No, he wasn't a senator. He was a congressman when I was down in Washington as a small business guy. And the guy was, the commercial officer was bringing me around. And he said, this is Joe so-and-so. Oh, when a congressman stuck his hand out, and he goes, how you doing? Let's say it was, my name is Joe Sullivan. So he says, how you doing, Joe Sullivan? How's it going? Oh, thanks for coming down. And is everything okay? You're being taken care of? He goes, you're Joe Sullivan from Baltimore, right? I said, no. He goes, this meeting is over. He thought I was a big greaser. Yeah, this meeting is over. Yeah. Thank you and good luck. That's life, man. And you don't want to be like that. You don't want to be the peon. You don't want to have to take your sombrero off and stand there in your sandals while the Gucci shoe boys go laughing by. You don't want that. You want to be free American the way the Constitution laid it out, that all Americans are created equal, endowed by their creator. And their creator wasn't Bo Pio. Their creator was God, the same God that's on the money. The only guy you can trust. Obama promises to violate the Constitution. He's doing it now. He's doing it now. What are we going to do about that? You want to start a revolution? You doing anything tonight? How many guns you got? Yeah. Oh, I can't go. It's like the kid that said he wanted to run away from home, but he wasn't allowed to cross the street. Oh, what happened here? What happened? Oh, it's coming back. What do we click on here? Guys used to be able to sing. Before my time, they used to have banjos and riverboats.
and a cappella groups, and they used to sing songs like "By the Light of the Silvery Moon" and "Cruising Down the River." And then along came the 50s rock and roll, and that was doo-wop. And you could put four or five guys together on a street corner, and you could make harmony. And it was a lot better than doing drugs. Getting the free marijuana. Yeah, the recreational drug. Yeah. We're in trouble, man. You have no idea. Your government is gone mafia. They're doing the gambling. They're doing the drugs. They're doing the prostitution if you go in to watch them vote in the House and the Senate. Government has gone mafia. You ever see the movie with the Godfather with the guy and the Don comes in his white suit, walks into a grocery store, everybody in there is working their ass off, and he opens up the register and says, "I just want to wet my beak a little." That's the American government today. They have more money than they know what to do with, so they make up things to do with your money. Unbelievable. Here's a tune. Here's a headline from Life News. I like saving babies. Babies are so beautiful, aren't they? You know, God makes them beautiful. You know why he does it? So you don't kill them. Same with puppies. Baby seals. God makes them all beautiful. Kittens. So you don't kill them. Birmingham, Alabama, abortion-free for now as Planned Parenthood closes. Middle school under fire for classroom poster listing sex acts. You better screen your kids. Never mind who your kids are playing with after school. You better find out who they're playing with in school. MTV show Teen Mom 2 will show young woman's abortion. That's nice. That's great. 29-year-old woman's beautiful answer to why are you still a virgin? Oh, they make fun of virgins, don't they? How things have changed. They used to make fun of putanas. Yeah, now they make fun of virgins. Here's some more pro-life news. How I changed my mind about abortion to become pro-life. The real war on women. There is a war on women. And you know what it is? It's that's why they can't cook. The link between abortion and breast cancer. Oh, we were just talking about that.
We were just talking about that, the pill. We're talking about the pill and breast cancer. Pro-abortion blogger bemoans decline in the number of abortions. Deaf Seattle Seahawks fullback talks about overcoming adversity. Hollywood agenda. Most movies with abortion plot have women getting abortions. Vatican. Secretary of State blasts Obama's HHS mandate in meeting with John Kerry. So Secretary of State must be who? Vatican Secretary of State? Report, women with multiple sexual partners more likely to have abortions. Tired of the media blackout on the March for Life, or the media blacks out all that is good and gives us all of the murd. New pro-life documentary planned. I understand they're going to ambush Obama at the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Americans are getting ready to expose Obama in advertising at the Super Bowl. I wonder if Obama can pull a national blackout and blame it on the Iranians. New study shows all emergency contraceptives can cause early abortion. British health officials attempt to bring in home abortions through the back door. NBC's Maria Shriver offers a fawning profile of overnight sensation Wendy Davis. Oh, Wendy Davis, she's the Texan, right? She's pro-kid killing. Missouri Right to Life pushes bill for abortion clinic inspections. Oh, man, if you do that, you're going to see a lot of things that make you sick. Do you know that about 10 years ago in Brooklyn, they had a guy that had a clinic, and he was throwing out the body parts. What he used to do is he would have them all in plastic bags, and rather than pay the fee to take the dead babies away, he would throw them in abandoned lots. He would throw the bags in abandoned lots and empty lots, and dogs would be running around the street with baby parts in their mouth. How's that? Animals. Who's an animal? The dog or the guy that threw the bag? The guy that did the abortion is the real animal. Anybody that believes in abortion should have to do one. Canada Supreme Court to hear case to legalize assisted suicide. You can't trust those people up there. They kill baby seals. So, having said that, let's see what else is going on. And this is the one. This is the one I saw today. I told you yesterday about the movie I saw where 200 people were getting a ride on a train and they were pulled off by crooked police. They stopped the train on the tracks and they picked out who they wanted to arrest, and they turned the rest of them loose, and they were running to get on the train, and a bunch of guys came out of the woods with machetes and were hacking them to death. And there's one scene, there's males and females in a holding pen, and one guy, he takes his shirt off to show all his tattoos, he's MS-13, and he starts robbing everybody. Starts beating them up and robbing everybody. And they're all afraid of him because he's MS-13. And we got him right here in California. Yeah, we brought him in under the new Democratic, you vote for me, you can kill anybody you want. After all, we're killing the kids. So let's see what this Obama-backed Mexican troop story is. The editor's top picks. Obama-backed Mexican troops. This is from New American. The Obama-backed Mexican troops disarm and massacre more civilians. Obama-backed Mexican troops fired on a group of civilians trying to keep their guns in order to rein in the ruthless cartels. Around a dozen were shot. In the movie that you're going to see, The Lone Survivor, there is a Pashtun village that is surrounded by a Taliban, and they drag out a guy's brother and they cut his head off. And at the end of the movie,
the Taliban gets theirs in that Pashtun village, because all of the Pashtuns have AK-47s. And if they didn't have them, they would all be dead. And they were going to die fighting anyway, because they were outnumbered by the Taliban, and the Taliban had automatic weapons. They must have got them from Eric Holder, too. But the American chopper and gunships came and took care of the Taliban. But that's what these people needed to do to protect themselves. And everybody needs a gun to protect themselves. You should have one in the house, safely kept away, but quick to get to. Obama administration backed Mexican troops opened fire this week on a group of civilians seeking to keep their weapons and rein in ruthless government-linked drug cartels, which have terrorized their communities in the state of Michoacán. The attack sparked an international outcry on behalf of the citizens who have suffered nonstop brutality at the hands of both government officials and criminal syndicates. News reports, some of which conflict with each other, suggest that about a dozen people were shot and at least four were killed in the massacre, including an 11-year-old girl. Life is cheap in Mexico. When you go down there, you can go down there with your American rights, but never forget, life is cheap. All life is cheap in Mexico. A Mexican paper reported that a dozen civilians died in the clash. Multiple reports and local witnesses said the Mexican forces opened fire on an unarmed crowd, though officials would not confirm that to foreign reporters. Community leaders quoted in reports said the government was trying to protect the cartels. Bribery is rampant. You can get anything with a bribe, from Mexico to Iran. Authorities are claimed not to know exactly how many people have been killed in the clashes, which reportedly began Monday, January the 13th, when a group of unarmed citizens tried to stop a convoy of heavily armed government functionaries from entering the town of Atunes and disarming the residents. So they can't find the drugs, but they can find the residents, and that's the way it's going to go here. However, journalists and news reports confirmed that there were multiple bodies in the area. At least several locals reported that their family members had been slain in attacks by government troops. The federal assault came days after local self-defense groups managed to drive out criminal syndicates from more and more towns in the region over the weekend. Spokesmen for local communities said the biggest confrontation involved around 60 to 80 government troops, although hundreds were in the area. Officials claimed they were trying to bring security to the region by disarming the civilians, whom they refer to as vigilantes, for seeking to drive cartels out of their beleaguered communities. And also, you know what that means, they're all heading for the border and American freedom. Also part of the scene was enforcing Mexico's, this also part of the scheme was enforcing Mexico's draconian gun control regime. Once you give up your guns, you give up your freedom. Anybody who wants to take your gun wants to kill you, which critics say violates the human rights of law-abiding Mexicans while contributing heavily to the ongoing reign of terror and murder across such a nation. You know the story on guns, right? Adolf Hitler told the German people, why do you need guns? That's what we have the SS for, to protect you. So where were we? Authorities apparently expect citizens to rely on the deeply corrupt government for security. Money is everything. Whoever's got the money, they'll take it. Good money, dirty money, it doesn't matter. Money is money. Even though estimates suggest, look at Hillary Clinton, she took $450,000 allegedly from the Vignali drug family. And that's Hillary Clinton. Can you imagine what other people are getting? Oh, she had to give it back. She got caught. So
But she got caught, but she got a suspended sentence. She got to run for the Senate. Yeah, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble. We are becoming slaves in our own land. After Abraham Lincoln freed all the slaves, we decided we didn't like that. We want to go back to being slaves. Many Mexicans, however, have had enough of the terror and are organizing self-defense groups to protect their communities and families from lawless cartels and the corrupt officials controlled by criminal syndicates. And you know what goes along with criminality? Rape. Rape is like a pastime. The latest confrontations happened near the village of Apatzingan and the southwestern Mexican state of Michoacán. Following years of abuse, dirt poor townspeople, farmers, laborers, officials. Like, you ever see the movie The Magnificent Seven? This is it. It's still there. It's the same old song. Farmers, laborers, local officials, merchants, and more decided to exercise their God-given right to self-defense against the cultish and brutal so-called Knights Templar cartel. I hope they don't call themselves Knights Templar. The community defense organizations, that sounds like a Hollywood label. The community defense organizations have now liberated and wrested control of more than a dozen cities and towns in the region from criminals, according to news reports. You see, this is what's going on in Mexico, but you go to Cozumel and they're pouring you a drink, but there's a guy up on the mountain with a machine gun, and he's either protecting you today, but tomorrow may be a different story. The locals first decided to arm and organize themselves into self-defense units, known as Fuerzas Autodefensas, in Spanish early last year. By then, it had become clear to citizens that authorities were either working with the criminal syndicates. You know what intimidation is like? You're a policeman. You got a wife and family. You want to do the right thing. And the cartel comes up to you, and they show you money, and they show you a gun. And they ask you, what do you want? Do you want the lead or do you want cash? What are you going to do? Especially if you know you can't win. What are you going to do? You got to do something. You can't say, I'll be neutral. We're powerless to stop them. Indeed, the police departments in the states have been arrested for working with cartels, and evidence confirming U.S. government partnerships with certain crime bosses continues to emerge. In one case, though, a mayor in Michoacán, Ignacio López Mendoza, decided to speak out against the cartels and their extortion rackets. He was promptly kidnapped, tortured, mutilated, and murdered. Yeah, they don't just murder you, man. And they may mutilate you after you're dead. That's like a gift. Part of a nationwide trend, the cartels even have a saying, plomo o plata. Hey, see, I just told you about this, which translates to lead bullets or silver money. In other words, officials who are not already working with cartels are offered a chance to take the bribe or die. Initially, Mexico City reluctantly tolerated some of the self-defense groups despite the radical gun control regime. More recently, however, in response to local efforts to restore order and security in their villages, authorities sent in hundreds of soldiers and federal police. Upon arrival, officials reportedly ordered citizens to surrender their only means of self-defense, mostly crude firearms. When villagers refused to let them pass, Mexican forces opened fire. What we are doing is defending our family, our people, says Estanislao Beltran, a spokesman for the General Council and Community Self-Defense Forces of Michoacán. The government has not cared for 12 years for our safety. The government is too busy lining their pockets like our government. The army arrives and disarms us and our partners. Following this, the people took to the roads to stop the army. Now they got to take to the hills. It's sad. Long before those revelations, let's see here. Last year, as the New American reported, leaked documents quoting U.S. and Mexican officials also indicated that American troops were already operating in Mexico, in addition to supporting certain cartels such as Sinaloa. U.S. troops secretly operating in the nation were reportedly working with Mexican forces to perpetrate surgical strikes. Leading analysts equated the mechanizations to death squads. That is not good, and that we should know that. We should know what's going on there. We have enough trouble just trying to keep our country safe. We got the TSA agents that are filling up people in airports. We got a problem here. Long before those revelations hit the headlines, Obama announced an expansion of the Bush administration's controversial program to support the Mexican government in its blood-drenched war. I didn't like George Bush's relationship with the president of Mexico, who wasn't that keen on the USA. The guy that used to work for Coca-Cola, I forget his name, Vicente something? Fox? Was his name Vicente Fox? Yeah, so Bush worked for Fox. Yeah, unbelievable, man. We're in trouble. You know what our two greatest weaknesses are? What do you think they are? Intelligence. It hasn't changed since 9-1-1. We are still dumb. We are still wide open. Face down, pants down. We have no idea what's going on. We can't even protect first graders from people that want to punish them for being Christian. From teachers. From teachers that want to punish first graders. To indoctrinate them, to seize those sacred minds and fill them full of anti-American crap. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I don't know where all the money's coming from, but we seem to have plenty. But everybody's going to be spending it on weed. Yeah, I just bought some stock in Puff Puff. You know, Puff the Magic Dragon, and we're buying stock. Oh, it's going to be big. This is going to be bigger than the gold rush. Yeah. You thought that Sutter's Mill brought everybody to California? Wait till you see what's going to bring everybody to Colorado. They're coming, man. They're coming. All you got to do is say Obamacare, and they will be there. Yeah. Obama, unemployment benefits, and they will be there. All you got to say is Obama phone, and they will be there. And then, what? You know what? Did you hear about the fight between Hillary and Bill today? We got it taped.
You dirty swine! I never cared for you, not once. I was always making a fool of you. You bored me stiff. I hated you. It made me sick when I had to let you kiss me. I only did it because you begged me. You hounded me. You drove me crazy. And after you kissed me, I always used to wipe my mouth. Wipe my mouth!
That's a liberated woman if I ever heard one. Let's begin the beginning.
When they begin again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. Joys we had tasted, and now when I hear people praise the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean. Oh yes, let them begin the beginning. Let them
ask with all of the Democrat dirty deeds that are being played on the American people. They're saying, where are the Republicans in all this? You don't hear a word from them. I call them repuppies. And they are rhinos. And you know what the rhinos do? They lay low and they hope that everything bad happens to the Democrats and they'll be swept back into power without any effort or any sacrifice or any risk. And that's what you got. That's why you got to throw them all out every term. One term per termite. New York Times is discredited on Benghazi. New York Times has been lying to the American people since Walter Duranty told the American people that the communist way was the best way and there was no truth to the murder of 10 million Ukrainians. And that's how long the New York Times has been supporting communism. Beheadings, bombings, and New York's little Bangladesh. Something sinister grows in Brooklyn. That's by Dan Greenfield. This is all from Dave Horowitz. You know Dave Horowitz? Front Page magazine. Oh, it looks like the guy's a Muslim. Walking along Church Avenue and turn east onto McDonald Avenue, and you'll see the old standards of working class Brooklyn, aging homes with faded American flags and loose siding, surly bars tucked into the shadows of street corners, and the last video stores hanging on to a dying industry as they give way to mosques and grocery stores selling goat meat. Mosques grow like mushrooms in basements. Cell phone stores offer easy ways to wire money back to Bangladesh. And old men glare at interlopers, especially if they are infidel women. This is where Mohammed Siddiqui settled the dispute the old-fashioned way by beheading his landlord. Mohammed wasn't the first man in Brooklyn to use violence to settle a rental dispute, but beheadings are more traditional in his native Bangladesh than in Brooklyn. Though over in neighboring Queens, Ashraf Fuzaman Khan, Bangladesh's most wanted war criminal, heads up the local Islamic Circle of North America, whose Islamist thugs beheaded poets and buried professors in mass graves. And you know that the Department of Justice under Eric Bagholder is now telling his people they have to give way to Sharia law.
and they have to make sure that they're not going after Arab terrorists, because that would be racist. So here in Kensington, where the alphabet streets that march across Brooklyn down to the ocean begin, the bars retreat along with the alphabet from those areas marked by the crescent and the angry glare. And there is another one like it at the other end of the alphabet, where the Atlantic Ocean terminates the letters at Avenue Z, bookending the Brook alphabet with angry old men and phone cards for Bangladesh. You know, there's a rumor that they're going to bring in 50 million Muslims. You know that. They're going to bring them in under the guise that they're being persecuted in their country. And we're giving them asylum, political asylum. Yes, why are you here? I come for the political asylum. What is happening? Well, they're killing everybody in my country, so I figure I come here and kill everybody in your country. Yeah, these spots are no-go zones yet. There aren't enough young men with too much welfare and time on their hands who have learned that the police will back off when they burn enough things and councilmen will visit to get their side of the story. That generation will grow up neither one thing nor the other, ricocheting from American pop culture to the Quran, from parties with the infidels to mosque study sessions, until they explode from the contradictions, the way that the Saranovs, who huffed a pot, and the Koran in equal proportions did. It isn't the old man who planted the bombs near eight-year-olds. It isn't young women laughing with their friends outside a pizza parlor, knowing that in a year or two they will have to go back home for an arranged marriage. It is the young men who call themselves Freddie or Moe at the local high school or community college, who drink and do drugs, and who all their American friends swear aren't serious about religion until they suddenly become fatally serious. For now, the Bangladeshi settlements in Brooklyn are quiet places, to where the tenements and shops close off the street into small private worlds with their own justice systems, feuds, and secrets. I feel like I'm living in my own country. The editor of one of the Bangladeshi's newspapers in New York. You don't have to learn English to live here. That's a great thing. Overhead may be the same sky, but little Bangladesh has been cut off from Brooklyn and attached to a country thousands of miles away. Immigrants step off the plane from Bangladesh at JFK Airport, get into a taxi driven by a Bangladeshi playing Bengali pop tapes, and step out into a small slice of Bangladesh on McDonald Avenue. And when the infidels of Brooklyn wander into their territory, they are glared at as the foreign intruders that they are. After Mohammed beheaded his landlord, Mahmoud, he rushed to JFK to catch a flight. It was natural for him to think they have settled matters in the traditional fashion. He could fly away without considering what lay in the intervening spaces of the American Dar el-Hub between the Dar el-Islam of Avenue C and the Dar el-Islam of Bangladesh. For the Mohammeds of Brooklyn, the infidels are the empty air between the rungs of the ladder that their foot passes through without noticing. They are little aware of the other Brooklyn that they are pushing aside, the great stretches of the working middle class, the little homes where police officers and firefighters once lived together with teachers and clerks, where plumbers walked to work and bus drivers got on, where the thousands of small businesses from diners to pharmacies turned the grassy stretches of land into neighborhoods. Bugs Bunny was born here. Bugs Bunny was born here with his Flatbush accent, along with a million real workers, soldiers, sailors, inventors, engineers, bums, and salesmen who won wars, broke cases, sobbed in bars, and brought dinner home to their family. And now, like so much of the working urban class, they are being swept away by time and tide, not from the familiar shores of Coney Island, but by the murkier waters of the Carnafuli River and the strange world that its tides bring to Brooklyn. The city has always had its micro-communities, Chinatown at the bottom of Manhattan and Little Tokyo near NYU, Little Brazil off Times Square and Koreatown a block up from the Empire State Building. The Russians have their stretch of Brighton Beach with its tea rooms and fur coats, and Little Italy's butcher shops, bakeries, and rows of restaurants are still hanging on. But Islam is not just the culture, and the cultures who carry its baggage with them to the old worlds and the new are not toting it along like another ethnic food, a dialect, or a national holiday. In Chinatown, Buddhist temples and Protestant churches sit side by side, and in Latino neighborhoods, Adventist storefront churches and massive Catholic edifices coexist. Along with them can be found synagogues, Hindu and Zoroastrian temples, and the whole dizzying array of religious diversity of a port city defined by its swells and tides of immigrants. Bangladesh is more than 90% Muslim. Hindus are being attacked in the streets of its cities by Islamist mobs because Islam does not coexist. The other religions of the city do not demand that everyone join them or acknowledge their supremacy and pay them protection money for the right to exist. Islam does. Its immigration is also a jihad, a form of supremacist manifest destiny to colonize the Dar al-Harb and subdue it to the will of the dead prophet with sheer numbers of sheer force. The number of Bangladeshis in New York has increased by 20% in only 4 years to an estimated 74,000. And those numbers don't take into account the unofficial Mohammeds living in basements while nursing their murderous grudges. Jamaica, Queens is becoming the center of the Bangladeshi presence in New York. Another Mohammed, Quasi-Mohammed Rezanul Ashan Nafis, lived here in a low-rise development of indistinguishable buildings crammed together and studded with satellite dishes so the dwellers could watch the television programs of their home countries and plotted the mass murder of Americans. "We will not stop until we attain victory or martyrdom," he said in a video recorded before his planned attack. His modest goal, in his own words, was to destroy America, and quoted Sheikh Osama, "to justify the killing of American women and children." Mohammed described the United States as the Dar al-Harb, the realm of war, the territory yet to be conquered by the armies of Islam, and said that the only permissible reason for a Muslim to move to the United States was to conquer it by missionary work or by armed terror. "I just want something big, something very big," Mohammed said. "Make one step ahead for the Muslims. That will make us one step closer to run the whole world." At this hour, no one in Little Korea, Little Italy, Little Brazil, Brighton Beach, or Koreatown is plotting to destroy America so that his religion can rule the world. That is what sets the Bangladeshis, Little Pakistans, Little Mogadishus, and the Little Egypts apart from every other immigrant group whose dream for the future was not overshadowed by the iron dream of Islam. So that's from Danny Greenfield. Very good. Very good. Well said, Daniel. We're signing off. I'm going to go to a tune. I found a tune. It's 2 minutes. And it's called Sinuendo. Oh, you're leaving? You don't want to hear that? You want to hear that monkey gibberish? Oh, what happened here? They brought me back to A. You know how long it gets to S? Takes? Come on, Sinuendo. Give me a break here. I almost had it. Here's Sinuendo. Unless you want to hear the platters, a smoke gets in your eye. They asked me how I knew. Penguin poop was blue.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true. someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, we're not on fire. You must stay alive. Smoke gets in your eyes. So I them and I gaily laugh to think they could die. Smoke gets in your...